You're listening to SIW Radio from SecurityInfoWatch.com, your everything resource for the security industry. Hi, you're listening to SIW Radio from SecurityInfoWatch.com. This is episode 13 for June 25th, 2007. I'm your host, Jeff Cole. Our program today, we get in touch with Mike DeLuca with the Image Sensor Solutions at Eastman Kodak. They've developed a new pattern of how to put the pixels on an image sensor so you get more benefits on the sensor, such as low light sensitivity, less motion blurring, etc. We're going to catch up with Mike in a little bit to talk about the technology behind that. But first, a quick look at the news of the last week. Leading the news was that the FCC decided not to back down on the AMPS sunset. This is the analog cellular systems that were often used for alarm system backups. They had a petition in hand from industry groups, including those in our industry, asking for an extension, but that was not granted. So we're still on for the February 18, 2008 deadline as far as non-support of those analog systems. If you still have those in place at your customers, or if you have one in place at your own place of business, make sure to make arrangements to get that replaced with something that will talk to the new digital systems. Also out today, news from CDW Government Division, which did a small survey of 381 school security types, security directors of the IT side and of the physical security side. And one of the things they looked at was whether school security was stronger on the IT cybersecurity side or on the physical security side. Well, guess what? IT security won. So sounds like the physical security has a little catching up to do. Of course, on that, we hosted a webinar last week with a number of leaders inside our industry to talk about school security, especially for K-12 schools, but also for colleges and universities. You can get to that webinar, which is now archived, from our webinars page, which is securityinfowatch.com/webinars. Well, now we're going to go ahead and turn to Mike DeLuca of Eastman Kodak to talk about this new imaging technology that really could change the future of surveillance cameras. So we're here today with Michael DeLuca, Market Segment Manager, Image Sensor Solutions at Eastman Kodak, to talk about a new technology from his company to provide increased image sensitivity. And Mike, if you can give us a little background about how images are captured on sensors and how this new technology changes that.
Oh, yeah, no problem, Jeff. Happy to. If you go back to the mid-70s, there was a problem in working with image sensors in terms of how image sensors and how camera designs could capture color. We view the world in color, and it's easy to break that up into, you know, things like red, blue, and green. And when people were working in camera design, they're trying to figure out how to capture all the different colors that you need in terms of being able to put it back together. The simplest solution to that was to take the light coming into the camera and break it up into three parts, and then have three different sensors, one with a red filter, one with a green filter, one with a blue filter in front of it. And then you carefully align all the sensors up and then capture a full red and a full green and a full blue for every single pixel in the image, and then electronically combine them. That works, and it works really, really well, but there are problems with it. Obviously, you know, you need to work through the alignment and so forth of all the sensors. That's actually doable, but one of the real problems is because you're splitting the light, each sensor now only gets one-third of the light, and so your sensitivity drops down. The other problem with that is cost. You now have three of everything inside your camera. So people were looking for ways to try to deal with this and to come up with different ways and different arrangements, and the solution that basically the entire imaging industry has adopted was developed actually at Kodak in the mid-70s by a Kodak engineer, Bryce Baer. And what he did is he realized that the right combination in terms of putting all these different colors down and in a way that maps to how humans see things, to the way human vision is set up, is to arrange red, blue, and green pixels where half of the pixels are green. You'd think you kind of want a third, a third, a third, and that's actually not what you do. You put half of them down as green, and then a quarter red and a quarter blue, and you intersperse them evenly through. And this is now the common pattern that pretty much all image sensors use today. It's for referred to as the Bayer pattern because he's the guy who invented it. So this has been the standard in the industry now for, well, about 30 years. And what we've done is we've been starting to look at this, recognizing that this Bayer pattern works really, really well, but wondering if there's ways that it can be improved on. And what the scientists here at Kodak came up with is a recognition that maybe what we want to do is to actually add in a fourth kind of pixel. In addition to the red and green and blue, add in a fourth pixel, one that lets all light in, so that it's not filtering, you know, the red or just the green or just the blue, but it's kind of like a monochrome pixel. And because of that, that monochrome pixel doesn't filter any light away. All the light comes in, and so that monochrome pixel is more sensitive to light. It wastes less of the light, really, because it's not filtering anything through. And so by using those to increase the overall sensitivity and then using a new set of software to take the information coming off of the sensor and to recombine all the colors and the pixels, we're able to get very high-quality images. But we've increased the sensitivity of the sensor by between 2 and 4 times. And photographically, that's like 1 to 2 stops photographically in a photographic camera. And so that makes a big difference. And what that does is it means now that the performance of the sensor works better under low light. There's less noise in the image because there's more signal coming in. It also means that when there's a lot of light around, you're able to close the shutter faster. Now, in a consumer application, that matters because you can imagine, you know, kids blowing out candles at a birthday cake, or somebody running on a field kicking a soccer ball, and because the shutter is faster, there's less blur in the image, things like that. In a security application, it matters too because you want to be able to image under lower lights. You want to be able to see what it is that's going on in the parking lot or wherever the camera is. You know, in security applications, one of the things that kind of happens up front in terms of the design of a camera is, do I want this to be a color camera or do I want this to be a monochrome camera? And the advantages of a monochrome camera is that it's a little more sensitive because all the light comes in, and so that works better under low light. And really what this technology is doing now is it's giving you that monochrome level of sensitivity, but it's also giving you the ability to capture color as well. And so now it's kind of opening up some new opportunities in terms of being able to work under those low light situations.
So if we're looking at a parking lot with one of these cameras, previously we may have seen a black and white image at dusk or in the evening hours, simply illuminated by the parking lights, and not knowing what color that car was that took off that after the robbery. And now we might be able to ID that car's color. So.
That's exactly right.
What in terms of where this will show up first, you guys are making image sensors, and as I understand, this is ready for CCD and CMOS sensors, correct?
Yeah, the way the technology works, I mean, if you kind of think about a sensor and kind of look at it from like a cross-section of the sensor, there's all this like stuff that happens inside the silicon that make the silicon sensitive to light. And then on top of that is where this color filter array is, and that's the part that's filtering the light coming through. And so we're leaving all of this, you know, stuff inside the silicon in terms of how all that's done, we're leaving that alone. The only thing we're changing is this one of these very, very top layers where these different colors are located, and we're changing, as I said, adding in, you know, some pixels now that have no color associated with them, and moving around which ones are red and which ones are blue and which ones are green. Because of that, it gives us the ability to deploy this really broadly, right? We can deploy this on CCD or CMOS technology because both CCD and CMOS have these filters kind of at the top of the pixel structure. So it makes it real easy for us to go and to deploy it through in terms of working it across. Now, in terms of making this available and rolling it out, right now our plans are that we're looking to have our first sensor that uses this technology sampling to camera manufacturers in the first quarter of 2008. And so that's going to be the first opportunity for camera manufacturers and camera designers to be working with this new sensors that use this new technology. And then there's a lag time, obviously, between when they get it and when they're able to put it into a camera and develop, you know, the product and get it out onto a shelf. For for our sensor manufacturing, to be very honest, our first devices that use this are probably going to be targeted to consumer markets, whether it be a mobile phone or a digital still camera that you would, you know, take with you on vacation or things like that. But I certainly feel that there's opportunities for things like this as you go into security markets.
In our industry right now, one of the big concerns is about image resolution. If you go back and look at security camera images, even if you may have a great, a well-lit face, there, a lot of times there hasn't been enough data in these images, and that was affected, obviously, by our recording spaces. It was designed around the VCR way back when.
Yeah.
Now we've gone to digital recorders, and drives are cheap, so people are willing to take more image resolution and hopefully get more data. What does this mean in terms of resolution on these sensors?
Yeah, resolution is a funny thing, right? Because resolution means a lot of different things to different people depending on how you're talking about it. The first way you think about resolution is how many pixels do you get on the image, right? A 1 million pixel sensor is going to have more resolution than a VGA sensor, and 2 million is more than 1 million, and so forth. One of the problems with you say that, it's like, great, more resolution, keep getting more resolution. Well, the problem is, to get more resolution and more pixels, you have to do one of two things. You either have to make the physical sensor bigger, right, so you have more room for all these pixels lying around, or you have to make each pixel smaller and keep the size of the sensor actually the same. And there are concerns about going down either of those paths. As you make the sensor bigger and bigger, well, that impacts the size of the lens, it impacts the cost of the different devices, it impacts the size of the final camera that you have, and, you know, particularly in security applications, a lot of times you want to keep it small. If you go to small pixels to get the higher resolution, well, that impacts how that pixel performs. All things being equal, big pixels perform better than small pixels. So when you go and make the pixel smaller, it's harder to make that pixel perform as well as it did when it was bigger. And one of the performance characteristics that absolutely scales with size is how it works in low light. So if you want high resolution under low light, and you want to do that by making the pixel small, that's a problem. That you got an engineering, a science problem that you have to go and, you know, try to solve. So that's one whole part of resolution. Another part of resolution is, you know, okay, great, let's leave the number of pixels the same. Let's talk about 1 million pixels, just so we have a number to talk about. Well, there are different ways you can, things that go on in terms of how well that system resolves those 1 million pixels. One of the first big issues is the lens that's in the system, and you need to make sure that the lens is able to provide enough detail for the sensor that's downstream of it to be able to use all the pixels that are there. But another thing that matters in terms of working with the resolution is the type of sensor that you put in, whether it's a monochrome sensor or whether it's a color sensor. Right? What we're really kind of talking about here is the ability to, as you said, resolve the details in somebody's face or on a resolution chart. Think of parallel lines that are getting closer and closer together, right? Different sets of them, and like which lines can you resolve and get through? Well, if you stick with 1 million pixels, the best answer, the best resolution, the best ability to resolve those parallel lines is going to come from a monochrome sensor, where every single pixel is being used to provide image detail. In a color sensor, because the different pixels sometimes need to, you know, be working with all the different color records, the overall resolution, the ability to resolve those lines, is a little less than you get working with a monochrome sensor. Now, with one of these new patterns that we're talking about, it's about the same as you get working with a current bare sensor resolution. It's very comparable in terms of how that plays out. So if you want to resolve somebody's face, if you want that detail, the first thing you want to do is get more pixels on that person's face. The second thing you want to do is decide, is it more important for me to have a monochrome image where I'm going to get a little more detail, or is it more important for me to have color in the image so that I can see what clothes they're wearing or what the car was or other information like that?
And for our readers that are looking for more information on this, I have a note that Kodak has a blog entry on this technology at 1000nerds.kodak.com, and you can find that link also on our podcast page. I guess that's a reference to the number of engineers you guys have at Kodak.
Well, actually, it's a reference to you know, one of the old sayings at Kodak, right, and around the world, that a picture's worth 1,000 words. And so we actually have a couple different blogs, right? We have a one blog, which is just talking going on and what's the science behind how these new patterns are operating.
Gotcha. Well, Mike, thank you for joining us on the program.
It's my pleasure.
So again, that was Michael DeLuca, Market Segment Manager of Image Sensor Solutions at Eastman Kodak. And again, really neat approach to technology there. And of course, an interesting history of the development of these image sensors that our industry relies upon in its surveillance cameras. And we do appreciate Mike for coming on the program and hopefully to share a little insight into what you may see in a year or two in the surveillance cameras that you're buying, installing, or designing around. Until next time, thanks for attending this episode of SecurityInfoWatch.com's podcast series, SIW Radio. And be safe, be secure.